G'day, trendsetters. Welcome to episode 738 of the Trendsmove podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website, trainsmooth.com, or send me through an email. Oh, crikey, I've just dropped my phone. I've forgotten where I was. Jump on through to trainsmooth.com. That's where you want to be moseying on off to. So, now, fair enough, it's been a long time since I've looked at the analytical side of the podcast. But when I did, for the longest time, it takes up like around that 50% of the audience comes from the US. Now, this makes this next part very applicable to you guys, because the greatest sport on earth, rugby league, is heading to Las Vegas to play two games. It's going to happen every year for the next 5 years, I believe. I think that's the case. Now, apparently, in Las Vegas, they've sold like 30,000 tickets already. So I was pretty impressed with that, because I was thinking it was just going to be a bit of a ghost town come playoff. But I think we're trying to get our grubby little hands on that, get our grubby little hands into that betting market. But and the advertisement on it looks pretty cool, with Russell Crowe, the Gladiator, trying to explain this great game. But he didn't explain everything. Now, thank goodness Uncle Tim's here to explain some things you need to know about this great game. Now, there's four teams playing. Manly, which I don't know why they pick these teams, but I know why they pick one of them, maybe two. Sea Eagles, Manly Sea Eagles, Rabbitohs, the Roosters, and the Broncos. They're the four teams that are playing. Now, there's a few things you need to know about this. The Rabbitohs is mostly owned by Russell Crowe. I reckon that would be one of the big reasons they've got him over there. The Seagulls, their number one ticket holder is Hugh Jackman. Now, the important thing to know about the Seagulls is they're the most hated team in the competition. And for an example, my favourite team is the Newcastle Knights and any other team that plays Manly. That's generally how it goes. So when you see, I try not to hold it against Hugh Jackman for being a Manly supporter, being a filthy Manly supporter. But if you're looking at these teams, I would go Rabbitohs because they're playing Manly. So boo Manly. As for the Broncos versus the Roosters, they're a bunch of yuppies. So you boo them as well because of their yuppiness, and go the Broncos. So thank goodness I'm here to help. I didn't see Rusty carrying on with his ads. And I don't know when the Knights will end up playing over there in years to come, but you guys will be graced with the greatest team. I say that, but it's been a hard life being a Newcastle Knights supporter. But finally, we've finally got a good team. It's taken a long, long, long time, but we've finally got probably the greatest rugby league team in the Knights' history. And this is going back in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. We had this player, which is the equivalent of Michael Jordan, so to speak. He was Andrew Johns, class as the greatest of all time. If he wasn't playing, we were just crap again. And so we've finally got a good team. So I'm pretty stoked at the moment. But it should be. I've been hanging out for this competition to start. This has been a long off season. Anyway, you guys haven't tuned in really to listen to me talk about rugby league, and I reckon I could hold a rugby league podcast. I just don't think anyone would be that interested in listening to me talk. Today's, I probably should get it up, I'm not even prepared. Today's question comes from Mark, who writes, looking for advice on fueling in and around training as well as races. So this is a really cool question, and the answer is going to be very different for every single person, because, you know, it depends. Everyone's different. Blah, 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 blah. So, but what I'll do is I'll give you some basic good information, what I think good anyway, basic information that you can give yourself something to think about, for instance. So I'll work my way back from race day. So when we look at, you know, fueling for the race, there's a the big thing, and I fell into this trap as well because of what everyone was talking about, that we can consume 120 grams of carbs per hour. And you hear the stories of Magnus, for instance, consuming something like 140 grams of carbs per hour. For the most of us, I would stay clear away from that theory. There's been evidence that says it can work. There's been a lot of new evidence lately saying that you're not oxidating all of that. It's just sitting there, and they can see benefits for stage race cyclists, for instance, because the urgent need to recover for the next day is priority number 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's been a lot of studies lately that says, well, we're not really oxidating anything over 90 grams for most of us. So keeping your carbohydrate intake per hour between 60 grams and 90 grams. So you're going to have to work that one out yourself and see what's worked. So, and it goes against how much energy you're able to produce. So you go to Magnus, who's a professional triathlete, who's cycling, for instance, at over 300, 310, 320, 333 upwards watts, versus your typical age group that could be at 200 watts or 150 watts or you know, everything in between. The energy there is two completely different. So, and then body sizes are going to be completely different. Someone who weighs 60 kilos versus someone who weighs 100 kilos is two different things. So, and then what are you like at using fat for fuel versus, you know, are you sitting down watching television burning carbohydrates, or are you burning fats? There's a lot will depend greatly on this. And you use prep races to test what's working, what's not working, and you use hard training sessions to see what's working and what's not working. And then it can take a few solid races to really define what's going to work and what's not going to work. Was that too much fuel with not enough fuel? A lot of races have been ruined by taking in too much than not enough. So you do have to keep that in mind. Another problem a lot of people get is I hear it a fair bit. You know, I can't take gels, so I get crook gut. And there's a few things to that. They probably haven't trained with it, or if they have, not that much in that sort of level of intensity. And for the most times, not all the time, but most times, the gut stress, where they just feel like bloody crap, you know, GI issues, it's coming from fructose. So if we look at a general gel, for most gels, it's maltodextrin and fructose, which makes up the bulk of it, the major parts of it. And so it would generally be that, the fructose section of it, for most people. So now we start going, right, well, this is going to be a limiter here. So, and then I'll also add, it's bloody expensive to train using gels all the time. So for instance, you work out you need 3 gels every hour per hour for a race. And so let's say you head out for a bike ride now, and for the last, you know, you start doing 40-minute race intensity efforts for the last few hours. Or let's say you're just going to do 2 1-hour race efforts in the last part of that long bike ride. And you're going to do race day nutrition in that, just for those last 2 hours. And before that, you've had, you know, whatever before it. Well, that's 6 gels. Now, 6 gels, the price of gels are, you know, it's been a while since I've brought a gel. But they're not cheap. You know, $2, $3, $4 each. That works out to be a lot of bloody money. I make my own gels. I make them exactly how I want them to taste. Exactly what I want in them. The recipe, well, the, you know, the recipe's on the Transmove website. All you got to do is go to transmove.com. Up on the top there, it says something on the form of resources. Click on that and you go down to under nutrition, it will say homemade gels or words to that effect. Click on that and there's the recipe there. And you can play around with that. So you've got, and I'll go through many different things here, but you can go, right, I'm only going to take 60 grams of carbs per hour on race. That's all I need. Well, you can probably get away with just using maltodextrin. Now, the price of this for a huge kilo bag isn't that much, and then you work out what the price for a gel is making it yourself. Probably going to sting the wallet 10 cents a gel, under 10 cents probably. So add some, squeeze half a lemon or whatever into it, and you got yourself, you know, a complete bargain, and it's going to fuel you. But that aside, so let's just say you want to test this gel out to make sure it's going to be fine for you. And depending on the session you've got coming on, so you can, for instance, put 60 grams of fructose in warm water, mix it up nicely, let it cool the next day, that you use that as your fuel. So you're getting what's generally going to screw people over the most. You put 60 grams over an hour into that, consume 60 grams over an hour of, you know, generally race intensity or somewhere around thereabouts. Now you're testing whether that's worked or not. So if you've been able to pass that, or it's made your belly crook, reduce that, bring it down to 40 grams, because you're not going to consume 60 grams in an hour. So we're overreaching, and then you're just teaching your body. Now you add fructose into it, and then you might want to add salt. So for instance, I said it in the podcast I did when I was talking about my last race. My initial plan going into that race was to consume 90 grams per hour on the bike and on the run, two salt tablets every hour, and there's evidence out there that says they work, some, and there's plenty of evidence saying they don't work, and I take it more for my own headspace. I think, well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's not doing me any harm having the extra salt. And then I was going to take a Morton caffeinated gel at 45 k's into the bike, and another caffeinated Morton gel from the course at about that 10 k mark on the run. And the rest was all my own home gel. You put it into a flask, and you have it as you're going. When I realized it was not going to be a warm or a hot day, and it was actually going to be quite a cool day, I knew I wasn't going to need 90 grams, and, you know, I'm 76 kilos. So I reduced my carbs in half. Well, not half, took 30, I was reduced it down to 60 grams per hour. And I thought, well, I've got the, if need be, I'll just have a little bit more, but I should be fine. And I kept the Morton gels at the 45k on the bike and the 10k on the run, but the rest of it was about 60 grams per carbs of my own gels every hour, and it did me fine. I don't think that 60 grams I would have needed the 90 or close to if it was warmer. And that's all trial and error, and that's I work off more fructose in mine, because I don't get the gut issues. Lucky me. Now, having said all of that, now we're you're thinking, well, what do I have to mix this up every training session, or what? It takes 5 minutes to do, so less than, so it's nice and easy. But another way you can do it, and the components are very similar, is just plain white sugar. You put sugar in a drink, a bottle. It's scary when you're pouring it. You're weighing it in, so you go over a 3 hour period, I want to consume 70 grams per hour, 80 grams per hour, whatever your goal is. I'm going to consume that per hour. You get your little kitchen scars, you start pouring sugar, and you start seeing this sugar go higher and higher and higher, and your eyes are getting wider and wider, and you're thinking, bloody hell. I've got diabetes just looking at this bloody thing. And then you get some warm water or whatever into a saucepan. You don't want it boiling, but you just want to heat it up so it mixes it quite well. Again, squeeze a lemon or put some a teaspoon of vanilla in it just for a little bit of flavouring. And you got yourself a sports gel. Now, the components are very similar. So if you look at a lot of these gels, they'll have... one part maltodextrin, 0.8 part fructose, and then they'll just add a little bit of extra stuff here and there with other things. If you look at sugar, it's a one-on-one fructose maltodextrin component. So that will fuel. I don't know if I would do it, just using sugar. If it was a small race, I'd definitely use just sugar. For a bigger race, I like to add the salt and stuff into it, and just makes my head feel better. And if my head's feeling better, I feel better. It's in a roundabout way I'm trying horribly to explain how to test this stuff. So, you're looking at training sessions that you can use this fuel for. Now, let's say you're fatter, you're trying to improve fat oxidations, you're going for a ride, you want to be mostly, tap into improving, fat oxidation. Going into that in riding, let's say it's a 4-hour ride, 3-hour ride, 2-hour ride, 2-hour run, whatever it is. Instead of doing 60 grams of carbs is not going to help fat oxidation whatsoever. Well, it's not going to help fat oxidation. But reducing that down to 30 grams of carbs per hour, you're still going to be there or thereabouts with using fats mostly as a primary source of fuel. So about that 30 grams of carb. Now, so we've discussed that kind of what to do with race day. For most races, for most people, I would say stick with liquid for most, more times than not, hang around that liquid diet for the day. If you're shooting for a 14-hour Ironman or a 16-hour Ironman, that advice would be different. I'd be saying you should get some solids in, especially in the sections where... And chances are you're going to be walking part of the marathon. If you're fighting 17 hours to an Ironman, there's going to be chunks of that. You're going to be walking the marathon. So I'd be looking at trying to get some foods, solids in there maybe, possibly. So now we're looking at training sessions and how to fuel training sessions. We already spoke about fat oxidation, around that 30 grams. The things you got to look at is what's your primary objective in this training block, in this training session, in this training week. So, for instance, you're doing a hard session. Will you need fuel before, during, and after? Chances are yes. So getting some carbs in before, during, and after, you think, well, right, well, that doesn't answer my question. What am I doing? It could be nice and simple. It could be just a little bit of sports drink or whatever during it. Maybe depends what the session is. The longer it is, you're going to need more fuel. So, And the timing of it, can that session be timed in and around meals? So for instance, if you're doing a hard bike ride, are you having breakfast beforehand? That ticks that box. If it does, and then you do the training session, and then possibly have a recovery shake or a smoothie or something after it. So I'll give an example. The other day, my son wanted to do an early morning run before school because he didn't want to have to squeeze everything into the afternoon. So I laid out for him, being a great dad, I laid out for him a choc chip cookie. I knew it had about 300 calories in it because I measured all this crap. And I said, wake up, have that cookie, then go, you know, get a drink into you quickly and go do your run. Don't wake me up. And then, you know, when you get back, I'll have breakfast ready for you. And so that was, you know, he had his little 300 choc chip cookie, which, you know, breakfast for champions, I guess. He goes his run, turns out it was a horrible run he did, comes back, and then has his normal breakfast, ticked a whole lot of boxes. He was charged, raring to go for school, and then worrying about his, I think it was his bike later on that afternoon. So there's that aspect of it. Another would be, for instance, I've got a bike ride, let's call it a threshold bike ride. 90 minute ride with an hour's worth of threshold intervals into it. Now I'm going to have a little bit of carbs before it. Ideally, it would be just after lunch or after dinner or whatever, so, or after breakfast. So I've got something, but if not, I'd be getting some sort of carbs into me. Let's call it that choc chip cookie because it's, you know, just hit the spot. 300 calories into it. It's a mother. And then I might even have sports drink during it. Not too much, but I might have a little bit of sports drink during it. And then straight after it, what I used to have is after a session like that would be a shake of Endura Optimizer. I thought that was, didn't it, wasn't the, you know, it was far from, but tasting, or it was, you know, it wasn't mother's milk, for instance. It was, it tasted a bit, but it hit the spots. And you go after a session like that, I'll have two scoops. A harder session, I'd put four scoops. A ridiculously crazy session that I really need to, you know, replenish all my stores, I'll put six scoops of Endura Optimizer. They don't make it anymore. I'd buy like a tub of that a month, and it was getting harder and harder to buy, and now it's just impossible to buy. So now I've just switched to a BSC Body Science Performance and Recovery Protein, and I do that similar. So most of those sort of sessions, two scoops. If it's a longer, harder sessions, like the other day I did a 3-hour ride with some long intervals into it, I put four scoops. If I went out and did, for instance, I had that ready to go. Straight after the half Ironman, I had that with six scoops of that ready to go into it. And it's much nicer tasting than Endura Optimizer. But it hits the spot. It's got plenty of carbs. It's got plenty of protein into it. I was using... at one stage as well, I tried Super Carbs or whatever I think it was called from International Protein. That was okay. If I'm having a recovery session, if you've got a recovery session, you got to earn a recovery session too, by the way. I don't see any value in doing a recovery ride or recovery run. That's a different subject. But I don't... If you're going to do a recovery ride, in my opinion, you should have earned that recovery ride. So generally in recovery rides, if I haven't had any meals in and around that, I will generally put an amino acid drink into my bottle and I'll sip on that. Far from nice tasting, but it does the trick. I think I'm gibbering. I think I'm just all over the show here. So maybe I should read your question. Looking for advice on fueling in and around training. Yeah, it's just taking. It really comes down to short of long term goals. What's your goal on race day? Making sure you nail that. So, for instance, if you have a session. You're doing hill repeats or you're doing long hard intervals, try testing more and let's say you're planning to do 60 grams of carbs per hour. Increase that, make it, you know, with an intensity that's going to be way higher than race day to see if you can handle that. Again, try just taking fructose in the drink to make sure you can just handle that, because that's generally the thing that screws people over. And then you can slowly work it into long training rides, and you don't, you know, I've got a 6-hour ride, I'm going to fuel it like race day from the get-go. That's probably a bit silly because you're not going to be riding that whole ride in race intensity. So, for instance, you might have a 4-hour ride. I'll go back to my 3-hour ride the other day. It was I did a 3-hour ride, 2 times 6 minutes, hovering just under threshold. Then it was 20 minutes at about 10, 15 watts under Ironman power. So I'm just moderate effort, just riding. Followed by 40 minutes at 70.3 power, followed by 40 minutes at Ironman power. And it was during those 70.3 power and Ironman power is when I fueled like it was race day. It was probably a bit less, but a ride like that where you're in race intensity, those long 40-minute intervals is when you really want to nail those, make sure your race day nutrition's working fine. Then you can get off the bike and run and see how that feels, because sometimes it's you're okay on the bike and then you start running and you think, oh, God's sake. And then it all of a sudden hit you. There was a coach, I've mentioned it a few times. I can't remember still what the coach... it's going to come to me. I'll probably remember it. He would make his athletes drink a liter of fizzy water straight off the bike and then start the run so their guts all bloody manky so they can get used to that manky feeling on the run. I don't know if I would do that or recommend that, but it's still a good, you know, I'd like to see it. And then going back through to what's the intensity of this training session? What, you know, energy sources am I going to be burning? And then fuel for that. When's my next training session? So if you've got doing 2 training sessions in that day or 3 training sessions in that day, post-training recovery becomes even more important. If you're training the next day, it's important, but nowhere near as important. So you're fueling for the next to recover from that session and ready for that next session. I do have a guide that I've started writing that I was going to pop on the website of what I do and recommend. I've got to get around to finishing it. But I will say that there is another really good guide. So if you type in Dan Plew's Right Carb, Right Time, that will give you a timetable, a best of what to do, what to fuel, when to fuel it, and how to fuel it. It's actually probably a better way of describing it than what my half attempt of describing it is. That I probably should have just recommended that straight off the bat. Anyway, if you guys have any other questions, training, racing, nutrition, trainsmith.com is where you want to be moseying on off to until the next episode. Hooroo. And don't forget to boo the Manly. They deserve booing. See ya.